Blog Talk Radio.
The fastest 6 minutes of sports. Now it is season 4, episode 14. 14 times we've done this dance. 14 times we've given you everything you need to know about your fantasy, all the love you need for all your various sports across the platform, which of course is your NFL, your NHL, your NBA, your Major League Baseball, your college football, and things like boxing and MMA as they come along with their various events. Now, today's a special day. Why? Because it is, well, bottom line, it's yours truly's birthday. And it's a birthday edition of the Fast 6 Minutes of Sports. So, guess what? You get the birthday edition of me. I may, in this next hour, talk a lot of crap. I may say some things that may be a little off the cuff. Well, you know what? I really won't care what you think because I'm turning 1 year old today, and I am very, very blessed to be doing so. So I want to say thank you for making this part of your day. Even if you're replaying this later on during the week and you're just checking things out, you can certainly enjoy all the comeuppance that are going to go on in the next, well, 50-some-odd minutes. My screen's a little screwed up, but that's okay. For those of you in your fantasy football leagues, you should be either deep off in your playoffs or just starting your playoffs. Some of you may actually be in your Super Bowl weeks. Congratulations if you've made it that far. For those of you in survival pools, if you're still alive, God bless you, because Lord knows it has been difficult. In the meantime, to the 67 people who already hit me on Facebook with birthday wishes, thank you so much. It is greatly appreciated. I am so blessed to have my friends and family close by. So many people are going through so many different things around this world. It is always a blessing to know that you've got someone nearby, someone just to share a nice kind word or say some encouraging things to you, let you know that maybe you just headed on the right path. Yeah, and some of those struggles that we think we have maybe aren't so large anymore. So thank you very, very much for your love and your kindness and your patience and the joy you bring to my life. I appreciate it wholeheartedly. I can't tell you how much that rings within me. In the meantime, we're going to do some things a little different, and this will be one of them, okay? So rather than just get you running right into your fantasy sports right now, let's have a little fun, because everyone knows, you know, I grew up, my partner Ed, Eric, Craig Stewart, and those guys, Johnny Pates back in the day, Ronnie Wilson, we had our own kind of vibe. You know, we all went to Galesburg Senior High School in Galesburg, Illinois, and from the 1980s to 81, and some of us 82, between 79 and 82, whether people wanted to admit it or not, that high school was run by a select few cats that basically handled the social world. Oh, we still had our stars, and we still had our jocks. You know, we had Troy Berry's, Nicky Piggies of the world, and their thing, the Sports Hall of Fame's on. They were great players. Kurt Bell and those guys, great players. But they didn't run things. They really didn't. They were the stars. They were the socialites. They might have gotten themselves in trouble a couple of times, but the stars of that high school were those of us who brought the party. And we brought the party hard. And we bought the party to the point where we could have ourselves a good time and still go home safe and sound, sleep in our own beds, and wake up the next day with lots of stories to tell. Why? Because we had our own thing. Yep. You already know. Let's go, y'all.
Thing. burger joint for you and me. Quarter pounders are all I see.
Quarter pounders are all I see.
Your orders, please.
Sound off.
Game day.
There's a burger joint for you and me.
There's a burger joint for you and me.
Quarter pounders are all I see.
Quarter pounders are all I see.
Your orders, please.
Sound off.
Cream cheese and garlic.
Bacon mushroom cheeseburger.
Wasabi burger.
Salsa burger.
Honey mustard burger.
Blue cheeseburger.
Big appetites call for big burgers. At the Burger Joint, you get those 100% beef quarter pounders topped with fresh veggies and special sauces. Flame broiled to burger perfection.
Quarter pounders are all I see.
The Burger Joint. Big burgers, big on taste.
Hmm. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Everybody knows that, Parker.
Well, did you know auctioneers make bad grocery store clerks?
It'll be $23.50. Now 75, 23.75, hold them, hey, to get down, 23.75, 24, hey, $24, 24 and a quarter, quarter, now half, 24 and a half, and 75, and 25, now a quarter, hey, 26 and a quarter, hold them, hey, to get down, 20, you want to do it, 5 and a quarter, sold to the man in the khaki jacket.
GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
We know that, so, here we go. Birthday edition fantasy look, your week 14, that's football league, where you at? If you're deep into your playoffs, hopefully you're not in the loser's bracket, but if you are, oh well. Anyway, we're going to run you down your position players, 1 through 10, as we always do, get you ready for what you might be up against in your fantasy challenges today. So, if you've got them, start them. If you don't have them, hopefully you're not going up against them. Number 10, the quarterback rankings, Phillip Rivers. Number 9, Ben Roethlisberger. Number 8, Ryan Tannehill. Number 7, Matthew Stafford. Number 6, Russell Wilson. Number 5, Tom Brady. Number 4, Andrew Luck. Number 3, Drew Brees. Number 2, Peyton Manning. And number 1 this week, all matchup driven, Aaron Rodgers. That's a bad man, as Stephen A. loves to say. Top running backs this week. As you get ready, remember, if you got him, start him. If you don't have him, well, let's hope you're not going up against him. Number 10, Mark Ingram. Number 9, Alfred Morris. Number 8, LeSean McCoy. Number 7, Justin Forsett. Number 6, C.J. Anderson. Number 5, Marshawn Lynch. Number 4, Jamal Charles. Number 3, Eddie Lacy. Number 2, Le'Veon Bell. Number 1, Arian Foster. All right? Wrap your head around those running backs. All right? If you got him, start him. If you don't, let's just hope you're not going against them. The wideouts this week. Now, for those of you in Middle Earth, you're realizing you're not hearing your Bears, that's because they played Thursday night. Unfortunately, they lost to Dallas, but nonetheless, and kudos and prayers go out to Brandon Marshall for a speedy recovery. I understand he cracked some ribs, and I saw that knee in the back. Wasn't a dirty play, just one of those things that happens, but great wideout, and Brandon Marshall, hopefully he'll recover nicely and come on back for what hopefully will be a very successful Bears season next year. All right, wideouts this week, Emmanuel Sanders in Denver. Number 9, Josh Gordon. Number 8, Julio Jones. Number 7, Odell Beckham Jr. Number 6, Randall Cobb. Number 5, A.J. Green. Number 4, Antonio Brown. Number 3, Calvin Johnson. Number 2, Demaryius Thomas. And number 1, all matchup driven, Jordy the Man Nelson. Why? Because he's got a bad man throwing to him. You see a theme going on here? Just maybe a little bit. All right, let's go to your tight ends this week. Tight ends this week, 10 down to 1. Number 10, Kyle Rudolph in Minnesota. Number 9, Dwayne Allen. Larry Donald's number 8, Travis Kelce number 7. Number 6, Jordan Reed. Number 5, Antonio Gates. Number 4, Delanie Walker. He's always in the top 5. I'm not sure what that's all about. But number 3, Greg Olsen. Number 2, Jimmy Graham. And number 1, so, you know, this is a rolling theme, is Rob Gronkowski. Since that boy's gotten healthy and gotten back, he and Tom Brady are on a roll. All right? So that's your love for your tight ends. Top defenses this week, and we're rolling. Top 10 down to 1. The Denver Broncos. Actually, there are two number 10s this week, so Denver or Miami can be your number 10. Number 9, Philadelphia. Number 8, Green Bay. Number 7, Arizona. Number 6, Seattle. Number 5, St. Louis. Number 4, Minnesota. That's all matchup driven. Number 3, the Detroit Lions. They got Tampa Bay this week. Number 2, the Houston Texans. They get Jacksonville this week. Or the number 1 defense this week, all based on matchup and rankings. The San Francisco 49ers, why they're at Oakland, and Oakland is just a sieve. Actually, I give Oakland a little credit there, actually. They've got some talent, raw, albeit, and they've got some old veterans that really have never, ever panned out. They need to make some moves, obviously, but the Niners going there should have I won't say they're going to pitch a shutout, but it's going to be a really, really tough day for offenses today. Niners playing for their playoff lives right now, so I think that's going to show up as well. So there are your top defenses. Top kickers. And our buddy's got to be at the top of this, as always. All right, here we go. 10-1. Phil Dawson in San Francisco. Number 9, Caleb Sturgis in Miami. Number 8, Matt Bryan in Atlanta. Number 7, Connor Barth in Denver. Number 6, Justin Tucker. Number 5, Stephen Hauschka. There's our guy in Seattle. Number 4, Mason Crosby. Number 3, Adam Vinatieri. Number 2, Cody Parkey. And number 1 this week, Stephen Gostkowski. That is our buddy in New England. All right. Those are your kickers for this week. Again, if you've got them, start them. If you don't have them, let's just hope you're not playing them. All right. Let's get to the running backs. Now, we hit it earlier. We told you Aaron Foster's number 1 this week. Le'Veon Bell, number 2. Ed Lacy, 3. And Jamaal Charles, number 4. Don't expect there to be a gigantic distinction between how well these guys do today. Jamaal Charles can get off, and Jamaal Charles on any given day can rush for 200 yards. Eddie Lacy, I think he's maybe touched the close to 200 maybe one time, maybe once. Le'Veon Bell's done it. Arian Foster's done it several times. Arian Foster going up against Jacksonville. Jacksonville's defense is a little bit improved, but that's Arian Foster. And if he's healthy, he's a threat. All right, so I see why our pundits put him in number 1. All right, he is indeed a threat. All right, so we've done all that. All right, let's get you some love from the NBA and the NHL. Make sure we got you all up to speed as you get your viewing habits together for today. Don't know what you're going to do, whether or not your game plan is to lay around today like I'm going to do since it's my birthday. I'm going to talk a lot of crap, have a little fun. I need to get my giggle on. Okay. All right. There is if you get to NBA.com, there's a clip out there of Kobe Bryant talking to a late 30s Michael Jordan, both of them in all-star gear. Kobe may be the odds-on guy if he stays around long enough to get to the all-time leading scorer in the NBA. I mean, that would be Kareem, but I don't know. That's a tall nut to crack. I mean, Kobe's got a lot of miles on him. You know, I would not have suspected that Kareem's record of points leader would have lasted as long as it has. But why not, right? All right, last night in the NBA, Detroit loses 108 to 101. No, Philadelphia finally gets a win. So there's the record now. Okay, very good. Golden State best Chicago 112-102. Houston 195 over Phoenix. San Antonio 123-101 over Minnesota. Orlando 105-96 Sacramento. The Clippers 120 against the Pelicans 100. Today, the Wizards at Boston, Denver at Atlanta. So the 1 o'clock game day for most of you who are probably watching NBA TV or watching ESPN, Washington at Boston. That'll be a 1 o'clock Eastern start, noontime. So get your brats, get whatever you're going to get, to your libations, burgers, whatever you're going to do. Sit down and watch a good basketball game. That Washington squad is really, really good. With John Wall and Bradley Beals, Gortat's a beast in the center. A lot of fun to watch. And I don't know what Boston's got going these days. After the big three left, I'm not sure what was left of that squad, but yeah, let's see. Let's take a look at our standings and see what that can tell us. How about that? We want them by conference, please, because all the rest doesn't matter. Let's make sure Toronto's still sitting atop the Eastern Conference. How fun is that? At 15-5, DeMar DeRozan, those guys are playing well. Washington, the 2 seed right now, 13-5. Atlanta, 12-6 is the 3. Cleveland, 11-7. They've gotten hot recently. They rattled off 6 straight. At one point they were 5-7. Now they're 11-7. The Bulls at 12-8 right there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Milwaukee's a 6 seed, 11-10. How weird is that? Milwaukee's relevant again. Miami at 9-10. Under 500, but the 7 seed. And Brooklyn is the 8 seed at 8-10. Orlando, Boston, Indiana, Charlotte, New York, Detroit, Philly, all out of the picture right now. In the West, the Golden State Warriors break up the Golden State Warriors, 17-2 out of the gate. Followed by the Houston Rockets, 16-4, Portland's 15-4, Memphis is 15-4, San Antonio's 15-5. Oh my God, the Clippers are 14-5, Dallas is 15-6, and Phoenix rounds out the top 8 in the conference at 12-9. Talk about a distinction. By the way, the Lakers won a game again. They've got 5 wins now. Oh, by the way, I guess the Sixers broke the record before them. They've got 2 wins now. My bad. All right, kudos. All right, so Golden State's in the West. And Toronto is controlling the East. How weird is that? Now, you used to hear names like Miami. Maybe you hear Chicago at the top. But in the West, you hear San Antonio. Maybe you hear Dallas or the Lakers. Not Golden State. But they are 17-2. Riding high with almost an 89.5% winning percentage awfully good. All right, so there's your NBA love. No, any quirky news out of the NBA? No? Cool. Let's go on to hockey. Now, most recently I've had conversations with some young men. We're really trying to understand the game of hockey. I cannot tell you how exciting it is to see someone get out of their comfort zones on, if for nothing more than just to say, how is this game played? I've never actually played ice hockey. I played, you know, field hockey. You know, I played in the gym on it with a ball rolling around in a gym class. You know, you develop a tremendous amount of fun. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of excitement. But I've never actually played the game the way these big boys play. I never got on skates. Never tried to control a stick or a puck. It looks exciting to me, and that's why I fell in love with it. Anyway, until you do so, you're talking mess. All right, there's so much skill involved in that game that you will acquire, let alone the ability to ice skate, but the stick handle, control a puck, deke, go back and forth, and literally know that the other guy on the other side that's defending you is trying to do. And trying to emulate some of what you're doing to make sure you don't get that shot off. It's amazing. It really is. All right. It's your NHL love right now. Tampa Bay takes complete control of the East right now with an 18-7-3 at the top of the Eastern Conference, followed by Pittsburgh, New York, the Red Wings, Montreal, Toronto, Boston, and Florida round out the top eight. Actually, that's really a solid – that's a solid eight, too, because the lowest seed is 11-7-7 with 29 points. That's strong. All coming off some solid wins. Detroit's won two in a row now. In the West, where our boys live, and our boys are the Chicago Blackhawks, by the way, Anaheim, Vancouver, Chicago's number three, Nashville four, and St. Louis five, Calgary six, love Calgary, the Los Angeles Kings seven, the Winnipeg Jets number eight. Winnipeg's in the West, huh? That's interesting. I always thought they were in the East. Nonetheless, followed closely by San Jose, Minnesota, Dallas, so a little more hotly contested in the West. Anaheim with 39 points, Chicago 37 points, just 2 points behind the lead. And right there is Calgary, 1 point behind with 36. If you haven't watched the Calgary Flames play, you need to. You really need to. The Blackhawks and Flames, I could see those two battling for the conference final if this thing kind of plays itself out the right way. They're going to be there. Calgary's come a long way in a couple of years with a new coach and a new scheme. It's a lot of fun to be a Calgary Flames fan right now. That settled up to be rocking. All right, let's see. No need to talk wild card yet. It's a little too early in the season. Again, only 25, 27 games in for the NHL. So, yeah, no need to be looking at that just yet. All right, no need to be looking at that. All right. So, giving you fantasy love. We've given you your NHL love. We've given you some NBA love. This is going to lead us to news of the weird, isn't it? Now, we're 27 minutes past the hour right now, so tell you what, let's get into our segment. This week's segment, courtesy of Dr. Victoria Nunu, is not on your average Joe, to say the least. Matter of fact, we're going to take a look at our friend, our colleague in sports media. I don't want to give this away without displaying it, so tell you what, let's just check this out. Here is Dr. Victoria Nunu and her special segment on this week, Chris Carter.
Good Sunday morning, everyone, and welcome back to this week's segment of the Fastest 60 Minutes Fast Stories. This week, we would like to tell you about Chris Carter, a former American football and Hall of Famer in the National Football League. He played wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles, the Minnesota Vikings, and the Miami Dolphins. He was known for great hands, running precise routes, and for his acrobatic leaps. He had remarkable body control and footwork when making catches near the sideline. Carter was born in Troy, Ohio. He lived in a small four-bedroom apartment where he spent his early childhood in Middleton, Ohio, with his mother, three brothers, and two sisters. He got his athletic start in high school, starring in football and basketball both. He was heavily recruited out of high school for both basketball and his football. He chose to play football. He accepted an offer from the Ohio State head coach, Earl Bruce. Carter then became All-American selection after his junior season, Ohio State's first All-American at wide receiver. Despite losing his senior year, Carter left Ohio State holding the school record for 168 receptions. He was also selected as a member of the Ohio State football All-Century team. In 2003, he was inducted into the Ohio State Varsity Hall of Fame. Carter was the fourth round pick for the Philadelphia Eagles in 1987. He didn't see much action in his rookie season, catching just 5 passes for 84 yards and 2 touchdowns. Carter got more involved in the Eagles' offense in 1988, catching 39 passes for 761 yards and tying for the team lead with 6 scoring receptions. In 1989, he became the team's primary red zone receiver, leading the Eagles with 11 touchdowns, that's third in the NFC, while hauling in 45 passes for 605 yards. Shortly afterwards, Carter had a falling out with coach Buddy Ryan, and was a surprise. Carter later had admitted that Ryan released him because of alcohol and drug abuse, including large amounts of ecstasy, cocaine, marijuana, and credits his former coach with helping him turn his life around as a result. In September of 1990, the Minnesota Vikings claimed the troubled receiver. He didn't see very many passes come his way during his first season with Minnesota. However, in 1991, Carter stepped forward as Minnesota's top pass catcher. He led the team with 72 receptions, 962 yards, and 5 touchdown catches. In 1992, the Vikings returned to the NFL prominence, posting an 11-5 record and capturing the first NFC Central Division title since 1989. In 1993, Carter had a breakout season. He posted career highs in receptions with 86 and yards of 1,071 while catching 9 touchdowns, all team highs, and appeared in his first Pro Bowl. In 1994 season, Carter set the NFL single record for receptions. He led his team with 1,256 yards and 7 receiving touchdowns, which earned him his first All-Pro honors. Carter then didn't miss a beat in 1996, catching 96 passes for 1,163 yards and 10 touchdowns. He then continued to be the focal point of the Vikings offense in 1997. Carter was named to his 5th consecutive Pro Bowl, leading the NFL with 13 touchdown receptions while leading the team with 89 catches and 1,069 yards, even though he had more impressive seasons statistically. 1997 had been Carter's finest hour, as week after week he dazzled with one spectacular catch after another. 1998 season found the Vikings cruising through the regular season, posting 15-1 record while scoring a then-league record of 556 points. Carter, who made the Pro Bowl for the 5th time, caught 78 passes for 1,011 yards and 12 touchdowns. The following year, Carter had his finest individual season since 1995. First-team All-Pro caught 90 passes for 1,241 yards and the NFL best team touchdowns. Carter finished the decade in the 90s with 835 receptions and was named the NFL's All-Decade Team. In 2000, the Vikings won the NFC Central Division and Carter finished the season with 96 receptions, 1,274 yards and 9 touchdowns in the 8th Pro Bowl. On November 30th, Carter became only the 2nd player in NFL history to reach the 1,000 reception plateau, which he caught a 4-yard touchdown pass against Detroit. In 2001, the Vikings floundered with a record of 5-11, their first losing season since 1990. Carter's production dipped to its lowest point since 1992 with 73 catches, 871 yards, and 6 touchdowns, and his streak of 8 straight Pro Bowls came to an end. Following the season, the longest-tenured Viking exercised an out clause in his contract that ended his career in Minnesota. Chris Carter left the Vikings as their all-time leader in, among other things, receptions of 1,004 and receiving yards, 12,383 and 110 touchdowns. Carter then spent the spring of 2002 looking for a team. Although he talked with the Rams, Browns, and the Dolphins, he was unable to complete a deal and join HBO's Inside Bell team as an analyst. The Miami Dolphins lured the veteran back onto the playing field, but Carter showed signs of rust, catching just 3 passes for 31 yards and fumbling once. During the week, he checked into the hospital with a kidney ailment and was sidelined for the next 4 weeks. Chris Carter quietly retired.
Okay. can do that on a consistent basis simply because he considers himself to be a basketball player on the football field. I call him our small forward. Get him the ball wherever he's at.
Chris Carter came to Minnesota after a turbulent three-year career in Philadelphia. With the Eagles, he had shown great promise, but his talent overshadowed the fact that off the field, he was a time bomb ticking towards self-destruction. Head coach Buddy Ryan knew this. In 1990, he waived the wide receiver outright, knowing that the clear and precise patterns Chris Carter ran differed greatly from the wayward path that was clouding his personal and professional life.
I mean, I think I was a lot like a lot of athletes, just taking things for granted. You know, live the nightlife scene, just hanging out. I was very immature, and I really wasn't living a lifestyle that would allow me to get the maximum out of my ability. Big Buddy was upset with me, and he decided to release me.
Buddy Ryan's controversial decision was a slap in Carter's face that proved to be a sobering shot of reality.
I think I was bitter. You know, at the beginning, I would always say it was his fault. I was kind of knocked off my pedestal that I thought I was on. And I really had to reanalyze everything, my career, my life, my situation with my family, and what I wanted out of my life. And I decided to become a born-again Christian. I decided to make the most out of it.
Since then, Chris Carter has become an active participant in youth counseling and drug awareness programs.
I think he had a lot of opportunities to maybe go the wrong way. Once he was released at Philadelphia, he understood, first of all, how important football was. Like most guys, he probably took it for granted, you know, because he is so athletic. And I think once he came here to the Vikings from that point on, his goal was to be the best receiver in the National Football
League. Ironically, one of Chris Carter's first games as a Viking took place in Philadelphia. That night, he scored 2 touchdowns. It was the continuation of a maturing process that would indeed keep Carter on the road to becoming one of the NFL's best.
He studies as well as anybody. He knows our offense as well as anybody on our offensive team. And he's just a hard worker. I think he brings the right work ethic to work every day. And that's one of the reasons he's having all the success he's having.
That success in 1994 included a run at the all-time record for the most receptions in a single season and big efforts in key games.
Who has the snap and back to throw? Fabio caught by Carter. Touchdown, Vikings.
Against Chicago, Carter scored 2 touchdowns. The last one, an overtime catch that snapped a Viking 3-game losing streak.
That goes low to throw, looking. Tackles him and fires it. Caught by Chris Carter.
Vikings eventually won the NFC Central title, and Chris Carter went on to earn a special place in the NFL record book.
Pulls off center, drops the throw, fires over the middle, and it's caught. There it is. Chris Carter of the Vikings has set the new NFL single season receiving record.
What means a lot? It means that over the course of my career, that I've overcome a lot. We take things for granted. We don't know what a great life we have, some of us. And there are athletes who do realize that. And it took me a great deal of time before I could understand that I really do have a great life. And I'm going to try to make the most out of it.
What a catch! Bowling to his left. Cockstar fires and it's caught! Touchdown!
At the time of his retirement, Carter's 1,101 career reception and 130 touchdowns as a receiver came second in NFL history. He is one of eight players in NFL history with 1,000 or more receptions. He was named the NFL 1990s All-Decade Team. Carter was one of the 15 finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2008. Chris Carter is currently an NFL analyst and can be seen weekly on ESPN. He is also a faculty member and assistant coach at St. Thomas Aquinas High School. The owner of a sports training center in South Florida known as the Chris Carter's Fast Program, and is an ordained minister. Thank you for joining us today with our segment. I'm Dr. Vicki Nunu. Now back to your host, Mr. Vinnie Moore.
Thanks. That's weird. I don't know if you guys can hear
me. Welcome back to the fourth season of the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. Welcome back to the fourth season of the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. I'm Vicki Nunu, and you're listening to my baby, your host, Vinnie Moore.
Alrighty then, there's some latency issues. There's a slight lag in the production. Alright. Happy birthday, yours truly. 619-639-4747 again. 619-639-4747 gets you into the conversation. Week 14 National Football League. We have not done the picks this week. There's a lot going on. For those of you watching, following social media, following what's going on in the world, you know about all the issues going on in first Missouri. You know about the situation in New York. All these things, obviously, we've got some civil unrest going on around the world, and people are protesting. And you know, I've been asked a lot this week, you know, where I stand on a lot of these things. And you know, I happen to know some very, 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 very good police officers who do a great job every single day. And it's a shame that it just takes a few not so good ones to kind of ruin all the good work that so many people really, really do. So I tend to side on the air of humanity. I think there's a human element to everything that goes on in this world, and some understanding of space. And the reality is that the 12-year-old who supposedly looked like a 20-year-old and was shot and killed with the pellet gun, that didn't have to happen. The Eric Garner did not have to happen. You know, the Mike Brown did not have to happen. And I don't know if for anyone to simply say that they were doing their job behind their badge without an element of humanity involved is somewhat questionable to me, but that's where I guess I'll leave that. Again, I've known some really, really, really solid officers who do a great job that truly, truly understand what to protect and serve means in the community, and I've unfortunately also run into some police officers who thought that the badge meant arrogance and that they could just do whatever they wanted to without fear of retribution or indictment of any kind. Matter of fact, my son, one day from school, the half day of school, was walking home, and uniquely enough was run up on by police who wanted to know why they weren't in school. And when they simply explained that it was a half-day school and they were just walking home, we're given a whole lot of just – and again, as much as we want to say it was profiling, yeah, it probably is. It probably was. As much as you just said, look, the most important thing you can do in a situation is stay alive. And unfortunately, nowadays you see that more and more prevalent where the teachings of young men – especially those of us of color, regardless of race or creed, is get through the situation and stay alive. Stay alive, okay? It's okay if they take you downtown. It's okay if they take you for a ride. Stay alive, okay? Don't become the next statistic, all right? Don't say anything that's going to exacerbate the situation. Don't think you're garnering any by taking a bullet because you're not, all right? That's because you want to get this show because it's a birthday. So let's get 40 inspirations out of there, 2 minutes, and then we'll get back with news of the weird right after this.
Will you fight? No. We will run. And we will live.
Shame on you.
This could be the greatest night of our lives. But you're going to let it be the worst.
And I guarantee a week won't go by in your life. You won't regret walking out, letting them get the best of you.
Well, I'm not going home.
We've got too far!
And I'm gonna stay right here and fight for this lost cause.
A day may come when the courage of men fails,
but it is not this day.
The line must be drawn here.
here. This far, no farther.
I'm not saying it's going to be easy.
You're going to work harder than you ever worked before.
But that's fine. We'll just get tougher with it.
If a person grits his teeth and shows real determination...
Failure is not an option.
That's how winning is done.
Believe me when I say
we can break this army here.
And win just one for the Gipper.
But I say to you, what every warrior has known since the beginning of time,
you've got to get mad.
I mean plumb mad dog mean.
If you would be free men, then you must
fight to fulfill that promise. Let us
cut out their living guts
1 inch at a time.
And they will know what we can do.
Let no man forget how menacing we are. We are lions.
You're like a big bear, man.
This is your time.
Seize the day. Never surrender.
Victory or death.
Patch the Chicago.
Who's with me?
Clap! Don't let him die! Clap!
All right, let's fly!
And gentlemen in England, now abed.
Shall know my name is the Lord when I tell our enemies that they may take our lives. But they'll never take
our Independence Day.
Try this again. Hello.
Hello.
Go ahead. You're on the Fast 6 Minutes Sports. Yours truly, Vinnie Moore. What's going on?
Hello, listeners. This is Dr. Vicki Nunu, and you may or may not know that today is Vinnie's birthday. So, Super Champ, we are so blessed to have this day and to celebrate your birth. I just want to wish you an amazing day.
Well, thank you, Doc. I greatly appreciate it. I really do. And thank you for your segment on Chris Carter this morning. That was incredibly well done. So I appreciate everything and anything that's been done. I appreciate it.
Have a great day.
All right, take care. All right, she leaves the line open at 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. We don't want to open up the floodgates for some of you knuckleheads. I'm even blowing up my cell phone and blowing up Facebook. Anyway, it is what it is. So... get back to the show. We have News of the Weird on deck. Now, as you all know, News of the Weird can always be a little bit interesting, from roaches to get loose to strange things. So, well, I don't know how this is going to go, so let's just go ahead and do it and see what happens here, okay? Well, ladies and gentlemen, Vinnie Moore's News of the Weird. Here we go. This is as bad as tightening in buckle up. It's maybe interesting. All right. The frightening Alabama schools. In October, a mother charged that officials at ER Dixon School in Mobile, Alabama, first detained her daughter, her point crayon at another student as if it were a gun, and then pressured the girl to sign a paper promising not to kill anyone or commit suicide. What is suicide, Mommy? The girl asked when her parent arrived. In a 2010 incident that sparked middle school near Huntsville, Alabama, an administrator coaxed a special needs girl, 14, into a boys' bathroom to bait a 16-year-old boy who had previously sexual misconduct issues into committing a prosecutable offense and then failed to protect the girl. The girl's family sued and won a summary judgment. but the school board appealed, and in September 2014, the U.S. Justice Department formally endorsed the family's lawsuit. Only in Alabama. All right. Look, there's some quirky things that go on in our judicial system, as you all come to see. Currently, right now, this just adds one more fuel. This is why I'm to today, football state, not to try to adjudicate anything legally. Let someone else handle it. Right. The school level, really? Oh, what is wrong with these people? All right. Anything else weird? Twice in September, police in northern Kingston, Rhode Island, reported that a woman had complained of a motorist who would stop female strangers on the street and tell them jokes about blonde women. The jokes were not sexual, but still made the woman feel uncomfortable. A high school girl told her mother of a similar episode. Based on a license plate number, police exploited the man, visited the man, and he agreed to stop. What's so weird about that? Nonetheless. What can I tell you? It's a weird, weird world. And I guess we're just, what's the word? Proud to be part of it. Anyway, that's this week's news of the weird.
Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game, played nowhere else on earth. It is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
One heartbeat! One heartbeat! One mind! One mind! One spirit! One spirit! Hola, 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 hola.
All we got is each other! Yeah. And that's all we need!
Yeah. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight,
Pro football is a mirror of early America, reflecting toughness, courage, and self-denial. The game is wide open, not confined. X's and O's on a blackboard are translated into imagination on the field. It can be one man rising above the obscurity of a grim, no-glory duty of special teams. It is a lineman clawing through the carnage at the scrimmage line and devouring the quarterback.
Brown right, Fox 2 run on set, ready?
The game is perpetual motion. A swirl of flying bodies in constant collision. A 2.5-hour carnival of color, sound, and action. There's glory in the legends of this hard muscle life, and there's poetry in each season made of sweat and strife. But now's the time to work and strain at a sport that tests the spirit and challenges the brain.
Oh, that's it? That's what you're bringing today, bro? Come on, man.
We got to come out here with a swag, man, and play cocky, man, for 4 quarters.
Do you fear the force of the wind, the slash of the rain? Go face them and fight them. Be savage again.
We get the ball back, we go down and score, we win this game.
29.
Did you just miss the ball? Come on, son, it's the NFL now.
We're taking this game, Pete.
But I'm going to tell you what, we got a pretty good football team in this room in case nobody knows.
Keep your eyes working for the pressure. Now,
hey, Brandon's
locked up. Time to work, man. Time to work now.
That's how you play football. Yes!
A time for achievement. A time for purpose. A time for glory.
All right. So check this out. Most of you know that this will be the first year of the college football game to actually have playoffs. It's a committee that basically decides which 4 teams will be in that playoffs. And while the coaches want 8 teams, and that would have been so much more love for obviously not only more programs, but probably a better overall tournament, it is what it is. You got 4 teams, you got a playoff system, it's just going to come down that way. So there you go. So there can only be room for four. Let's run down your scores of who was affected by yesterday's games and where we stand. So Boise State takes care of Baylor 22 to no effect whatsoever. Oklahoma loses to Oklahoma State 38-35. That's purely for rankings, but here we go. Baylor, number six, takes care of Kansas State 38-27. Baylor sits at number six. They're looking for somebody to screw the boots, so to speak. Ohio State makes an absolute statement, putting 59 on Wisconsin. That's a good Wisconsin team, by the way. But Ohio State, again, getting it done, 59-0. So now, here you go. Here you go. Florida State, who's undefeated, ranked number four, sitting number four, takes care of Georgia Tech 37-35. Not impressive, but a win. Number one, Alabama, best Missouri 42-13. Just taking care of business. Number two, Oregon takes care of Arizona 51-13. And number three, TCU blasts Iowa State 55-3. So, let me know where you stand on this whole selection committee. Because right now, and they're probably going to get what they want, which is kind of par for the course, unfortunately. But you would really hope that they would do more. Looking at total bodies of work, TCU has made its claim for why it should be there. They have. There's absolutely no arguing this. Alabama has made its claim. Oregon has staked its claim. Florida State is undefeated. If you stop right there and take Alabama, Oregon, TCU, and Florida into this tournament, you're probably okay, except for the bastard child sitting outside, which is, of course, Ohio State. Ohio State, sitting at number five there, has laid its claim. That is probably one of the best teams in the country that will never be heard from because the committee and the system is what it is. Had you gone eight teams deep into this, you would have had Ohio State, Baylor, Arizona, Michigan State, and Kansas State. Maybe a Kansas State. Or maybe you find another one-loss team somewhere down the road. But the fact is, an 18 tournament would have been better, but it is a 14 tournament this year. So, you know, you get over it, and we'll deal with it. I have no qualm with Alabama, Oregon, TCU, and Florida State being in that Final Four. None whatsoever. And we'll decide it from there. Is Alabama the best team in the country? Florida State may have something to say about that. Is Oregon the best team in the nation? Well, we'll find out soon enough. Can anyone stop TCU's offense? We'll find out in a few weeks. In the meantime, Alabama sits at number one, Oregon sits at two, TCU three, Florida State at four, and all of them won. All of them won. All of them. So, the committee has one more chance to get this thing right. One more chance. Let's hope they do so. Again, should anyone be shipped around? I'm not going to sit here and tell you that's the case. I don't believe that's the case at all. But I do believe that something's going to have to give. And maybe this is being the first year, maybe it's not too late to tweak it for subsequent years. Okay, I don't believe there's anything etched in stone that says that you can only do this thing for either 1 year without changing something major. Expand this thing to eight teams and let these guys go play. Okay, as far as hot stove baseball goes, congratulations to Ryan Dempster, who pitching days may be behind him, but he's got a front office job with the Chicago Cubs, where he loves the city of Chicago, and like many of us do. So congratulations to him. And I kind of think that there's a lot of interest going on in baseball all of a sudden, where the Northsiders in Chicago are going on, because that talent they've got, the decisions they've made, the scouts they've got now, things are looking up there. So I know it's been 100 plus years since Chicago, the Cubs have been anything relevant in baseball. I say that tongue in cheek because 2003 still hurts. But nonetheless, 619-639-4747. 619-639-4747. If you've got something you want to share, something you want to say, by all means, feel free to chime in. We're down to about a minute left in this show, but we love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. It is December 7th. It's a birthday weekend for yours truly. 1 year older, one more year of blessings bestowed upon me. Kudos to all my friends all over this country and all over the northern provinces, the great country of Canada. We love you guys. There's absolutely nothing you can do about it. We appreciate you more than ever. And we're incredibly thankful today. We're incredibly humbled by the reaching out today. You know, it's funny. Every year I think I count the number of entrants that always say, you know, happy birthday or whatever, whether it's from Facebook or from Twitter. And, you know, earlier this morning I was sitting at, you know, like one or two thinking, oh, it'll be a quiet day, and all of a sudden you look up there and there's 90 up there. So there you go. If you want to find me on Facebook at VinLove1207. Find me on Twitter at VinLove1207. Whatever you got to say, say hi. Say if you got a contradiction. Oh, wait a minute. We didn't give you guys a pick, did we? Hang on. All right. You know, we're gonna go a little over time, which means the feed will stop, but you'll still be able to play it back and get the picks. Who's going to win today, Vin? You tell anybody. All right, well, we know the Bears lost, right? We know this already. All right, so Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, go Cincinnati. St. Louis, Washington, got to go with the Rams after that big blow last week. New Giants, Tennessee, go with the Giants. Carolina at New Orleans, go with New Orleans. Jets, Minnesota, go with Minnesota. Baltimore, Miami, tough one. I'm going to go Miami in that one just because it's a little bit of a reach. Indianapolis at Cleveland. Indianapolis is a better team. Tampa Bay, Detroit. Detroit's playing far too well right now. Houston at Jacksonville, go with Houston. Buffalo at Denver. How do you go against Denver? Kansas City, Arizona should be a great football game. I think Kansas City probably actually ekes that one out just because, Arizona doesn't have his quarterback. Seattle, Philadelphia, great football game. I'm going to go with Philadelphia that one just because it's kind of fun to do so. Niners at Oakland, go with the Niners. New England at San Diego. How do you go against Tom Brady in that one? But I'll tell you what, it's going to be fun. It's going to be hard in San Diego. Phillip Rivers is playing well. Let's go New England in that one. Atlanta, Green Bay, the game of the day tonight, Sunday Night Football. I'm sorry, that's Monday Night Football, Green Bay. Even though it's a matchup made in heaven for fantasy guys, Green Bay gets that gun. So that's it. That's your love. That's the notes you need to know. Have a great weekend. Have a great Sunday. It's time for you to go eat. So have yourself a great Sunday. Happy December 7th, the day that will live in infamy. Because it's Pearl Harbor Day. Take care of yourselves, and we'll talk to you all next week, only on the Fastest 60 Minutes of Sports. Good day, everybody. Have a great Sunday.